Hal and Ben looked around the room. The station master and the driver were standing with shotguns in their hands, the hammers eared back.
No trouble, boys. You have my word on that.
This is the most exciting thing I have ever seen. It's so, well, thrilling.
Somebody drag that body out of here.
Stick him in the shed. He'll keep till morning.
How disgusting.
Mrs. Overhauser looked at the younger woman.
And you're just awful, thinking any of this was thrilling.
Oh, shut up, lady. Come on, Hal. Help me with Gene. We'll tote him outside.
Frank stood quietly and reloaded while Gene's buddies carried him outside. He tossed the brass empties into a trash barrel and walked over to the coffee pot, pouring another cup. Then he sat down on a bench.
Are you gonna have any supper, Mr. Morgan?
I'll probably have a bite after a while.
I'll get a mop and clean up the mess on the floor.
I still feel faint. I need to lie down and collect myself.
Well, pick a spot on the floor, lady. This ain't no hotel.
I shall certainly post a letter of grievance to the owners of this stage line. The treatment I'm receiving is deplorable.
Mr. Morgan, I have aspirations of becoming a writer. I would like to talk with you at some future point, with your permission, of course.
Not one to be rude, Frank reluctantly nodded his head in agreement. Then he remembered the writer Lewis Pettigrew, the little Boston author of all those ridiculous dime novels about him, and Frank suppressed a shudder. Lewis promised to follow him no matter where he went and write his life's story. God, what if Frank had two writers following him around? He looked again at the young woman with her fine clothing and little hat. No way could this pretty little thing manage to follow him around during his wanderings.
Now, just where do you think you're going, Colleen?
To sit beside Mr. Morgan.
Oh, no. You most certainly will do no such thing. Why, the man is a craven killer.
Stuff and nonsense, Martha. The man protected himself, that's all.
You come back here.
Colleen walked over and sat down beside Frank.
Do you mind, Mr. Morgan?
Not at all, miss.
I've read all the books about you and Mr. McAllister and the mysterious gunfighter called Smoke Jensen. Do you know any of those men, Mr. Morgan?
Jensen or Falcon McAllister?
Either one.
Know both of them. New Falcon. He's dead now. Killed by ambush. Buried beside his wife overlooking McAllister's valley.
But Jensen is still alive, isn't he?
Last I heard he was.
Who is that handsome young man with you, sir?
Aha. Now Frank understood. She had eyes for Jeff. This was good. Maybe he could get these two hooked up and be shut of both of them.
It's Jeff Barton. He's from New York City.
Are you all right over there, Colleen?
Of course I'm all right, Martha. You're looking right at me.
Who's that woman? Kenny yours?
Oh, no. That's Mrs. Martha Overhauser. She's a recent widow. Her husband died suddenly.
I'm sure he's resting much better now.
That comment blew right past Colleen.
She has a brother out in California. That's where she's going.
This way? Last time I checked, California was west of Denver, not south.
Oh, you silly. No. She has a friend in Durango. She's going to visit her for a time. They haven't seen each other in years.
I see.
They were friends in finishing school. Back in Massachusetts, she's looking forward to seeing Mrs. Tremaine.
Frank had just taken a sip of coffee and almost choked on it.
Mrs. Tremaine?
Yes, Paulette Tremaine.
Does your friend know what Mrs. Tremaine does for a living?
I don't really know. She told me that Paulette's husband died about 15 years ago, and about 5 years ago she moved to Durango and is operating a very successful business there.
Paulette Tremaine got run out of Denver about 5 years ago, Frank recalled, hiding his smile. Mrs. Martha Overhauser was in for one hell of a surprise, for Paulette operated one of the West's most notorious whorehouses and had for just about 15 years. After she wore out her welcome, among other things, in Denver, she moved her entire operation to Durango. Colleen was right about Paulette's husband dying. He sure did that. She shot him 5 times after she caught him stark naked with another woman in their fine home in the fashionable section of Denver. Paulette now employed about 20 soiled doves. Something for everyone's tastes, so the story went.
Martha is a big supporter of the temperance movement, Mr. Morgan. She is going to spread the word about the evils of drinking here in the West.
Oh?
Yes, and that's not all.
I was afraid of that.
Martha is active in a movement that would give women the vote.
Hal and Ben walked back into the room.
We put Jean in the shed. Don't seem decent, though. Me and Jean been together for a long time.
He won't mind being in the shed.
Ben looked at him, an ugly expression on his face.
Who the hell asked you?
The traveling man shrugged his shoulders and looked away. Mrs. Overhauser stood up and walked over to Colleen. She held out a hand.
Come, Colleen. I found us a place to sleep for tonight. One that will provide some privacy.
She gave Frank a very dirty look.
Go on, Colleen.
Though Frank spoke to Colleen, his eyes did not leave Ben's face.
I think there's going to be some more trouble in here.
But...
Go on. Jeff, come escort the ladies out of here.
The traveling men, still seated at the table, rose and went into the small bar area of the stage stop. Frank stood up to face the remaining bounty hunters.
You boys just won't let alone.
You can't get both of us, Morgan. Just ain't no way that's possible.
Now, wait a minute here.
The station master reached for his shotgun.
You touch that scattergun and you're dead, mister.
Just back off and mind your own business.
What the hell are you talking about? This place is my business.
And this is our business. That gunslinger standing right there.
Yeah. Me and Hal done talked it over. Jean ain't gonna die for nothing.
Ben's eyes locked on Frank.
Me and him was closest brothers. So it's root hog or die time. You understand that, Morgan?
I hear you.
We're gonna make sure them women is safe away from stray bullets. I don't give a damn about the men. See to that.
Hal gestured to the driver and the station master, keeping his eyes on Frank.
Go on, make yourselves useful.
You ready, Morgan?
Do I have a choice?
Not none at all.
Lots of lead gonna fly in this building, Ben. And there are a lot of people in here.
I done told them to hunt a hole. They don't, that there ain't no worry of mine.
You're all heart, Ben.
Huh?
Frank watched Hal edge a few steps to his left.
Stand still, bounty hunter.
I got a better idea, Morgan. Draw!
Both manhunters grabbed irons. Frank drew, fired, and jumped to one side all in one smooth movement.
Arrgh!
His first shot hit Hal in the shoulder and knocked the bounty hunter back. Frank hit the floor just as he fired again. The impact with the floor threw his aim off, and his bullet struck Ben in the hip, and the man collapsed to the floor. He crawled to his feet and banged a shot in Frank's direction, the bullet thudding into the wall behind where Frank was kneeling on the floor. Frank snapped off around just as Hal dropped to the floor. The bullet knocked a chunk out of the wall.
You horseshit, Morgan!
Ben fired, his round missing Frank by several feet. Frank returned the fire and did not miss. Ben was slammed backward, a hole in the center of his forehead, his eyes wide open, a startled expression on his face. Hal staggered to his feet, and this time Frank's aim was on the mark. Hal fell back against the wall, his heart shattered. He slid to the floor, his pistol falling from suddenly dead fingers. Frank rose wearily to his feet and reloaded as the big room began filling with people.
Damnedest thing I ever seen.
I damn sure never seen nothing like it.
This is terrible. I shall never ride this stage line again.
That's the best news I've heard in weeks. You ain't done nothing but moan and complain all the way.
Don't you speak to me in that tone of voice, you lout.
Come on. I'll help you carry the bodies out to the shed.
Why don't you stay out there with them, the both of you?
Ain't she a sight to behold?
Frank said nothing, just shook his head. Frank and the driver stored the bodies in the shed.
They just might stay here for several months, you know. They get good and froze, they'll keep till spring.
That'll be a lovely sight for sure.
Won't it, though?
You want their guns?
Nah. I got me a good pistol and a fine rifle I carry on my runs. Got several more of each at the house. Don't need no more. Thanks for offering.
I'll help you fix that axle come daylight.
That's good of you, Mr. Morgan. I'll take you up on that, too.
I'll be around.
After the driver left, Frank went through the pockets of the manhunters. He found some cash and would give that to Jeff. He took their guns, carried them back into the stage stop, and hung the belts on pegs.